And good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m. You are tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio, I have Dr. Gwen Brown. She's the artist in residence for the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, a musicologist, and an imbira player. And also joining me is Rhiannon Gavon. She's with the Sitka Fine Arts Camp. Welcome to Morning Edition.
Thank you.
Well, Gwen, welcome to Sitka as well. You came in, what, Sunday?
That's right, Sunday afternoon.
And you're here until Saturday. That's a pretty short residency.
I wish it was longer. I'd love to stay.
Well, you're packing it full of activities and reaching out to community. You were at the library yesterday, correct?
That's right. I gave a talk on the imbira, and we had a really nice turnout, and people were just so receptive and asked great questions. It was really fun.
And Rhiannon, have you had other artists in residence here with Sitka Fine Arts Camp? Where does Gwen fit into the picture?
Yeah, we've been doing an artists in schools program for the last few years where we bring up artists for residencies and they go out into the schools in Sitka and work with the students. And this year we've expanded a little bit and brought some other artists. We had the Michael Mao Dance Company here in the fall, and then Nicholas King was here in April, and then really excited to have Dr. Brown here now. So it's been nice to have some more artists and getting them out into the community and sharing their artwork.
Well, Gwen, you're going to be doing other things with the community over the week. But first, to whet the community's appetite, let's talk a bit about the imbira, which you have here with you. What kind of instrument is it, and how did you get interested in it?
It's a traditional music of the Shona people of Zimbabwe. It's thought to be at least 1,000 years old. Nobody knows exactly how old it is. And I got interested in it because I've been teaching world music at the University of Puget Sound since 2006. And that first year I taught the class, I was using a textbook that had a chapter on the imbira, and I remember listening to the CD that came with the textbook and listening to this beautiful sound and being both really drawn into the sound of it and also kind of mystified by the rhythmic side of it. It was so different from anything I was used to as a Western classical pianist. And so I got very curious, and it turned out I went online, and it turned out that there's a woman, Erica Azim, who's got an organization, imbira.org, lots of great information, and she goes to Zimbabwe regularly and records musicians and brings back instruments for people in America to buy. And it turned out that she, down in Berkeley, had an imbira camp that she does in the summers, and so I got funding from my department to go down for a week and go to imbira camp, and so I got to learn to play and bought a couple of instruments, and I've been playing ever since and sharing it with my students at Puget Sound.
And that's, what, 8 years you had said earlier?
That's right, yeah, so not so long.
But you know, long enough for you to form an attachment.
Very much so.
What has this playing this instrument added to your life?
Well, it's a really, it's just a fun instrument to play. It feels really good in your hands. It's a folk instrument, so unlike with classical traditions where there's this emphasis on perfection, and with the imbira, it's much more, it's about the music and about sharing the music with people and using the music to bring people together. And that's as true for me as it is for the people in the Shona culture, although they use it for spirit possession ceremonies. It's part of Shona spirituality, so it's a different thing for them. But for me, it's just a really pleasurable instrument to play and to share with people. It's really enriched my teaching a lot to be able to teach my students a little bit of how to play the imbira and be able to demonstrate an instrument that a lot of them have never seen before.
Do you think you could describe the instrument and then play us something?
Oh, I'd love to. Sure. It's got a nice sort of square of hardwood, and attached to it are about 22 to 28 steel keys. They look a little bit like spoon handles coming down from the top of it, and they're attached by a metal rod. And then there are, on mine, it's lion lager bottle caps, but traditionally it would have been seeds or beads or something. And those buzz against the metal down at the bottom of the soundboard and create this kind of buzzing sound. And sometimes Westerners say, oh, I wish there wasn't so much buzzing so I could hear the music better. But of course, the buzzing is part of the sound, and it's thought to help induce a trance if you're wanting to induce a trance. And it's also just part of the sound, really. They like texture. They like lots of buzzing and rattling in their music. So I'll play a song called Nema Masasa, and this is the first song that I heard. It was on that World Music CD, and it's a beautiful song that I like to play.
Thank you.
Nema Masasa.
And it never really stops. You just play until it seems like time to stop.
That is really incredibly beautiful and incredibly rich. It's just your two thumbs and, you know, a small wooden board and some, you know, metal keys sort of. And the depth of sound is just incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's typically played in pairs or groups and the parts interlock. And part of what's wonderful about it is there is kind of more than the sum of its parts coming out. There's things that are happening in the music that seem not to be coming from just two thumbs and a finger, but to sort of come from the instrument itself in mysterious ways.
You can hear that. I mean, it sounded like there was more than one person playing mm-hmm. when you were playing. And I should note, too, that when you got quieter, when the volume decreased, that was you. That was all you, you know, with your fingers very, you know, it seems like the amount of technical ability to play this is more than one would assume when looking at the instrument.
That's right. It kind of looks, people ask me if I made it myself, which no way, but it's got this very sort of handmade look to it. And a lot of people have a little bit of exposure to the kalimba or the karimba, the smaller version, and it seems like a toy. And it's such a sophisticated instrument. The possibilities are just endless musically.
Well, hopefully this has gotten some listeners interested. You're going to be giving lessons.
That's right, tonight and tomorrow. And it's so much fun because unlike with classical instruments where you start with sort of beginner pieces, with the imbiri you start right in with actual music that they would use in rituals. You can, in half an hour, you can really be playing a song and getting a good sound out of it. And it's very rewarding. And often my students find that it's kind of wonderfully relaxing to just concentrate on trying to learn where to put your thumbs. There's something very absorbing and nice about it.
Well, how can people sign up for a class, Rhiannon?
They can call the Sitka Fine Arts Camp office at 747-3085.
And what else will you be doing while you're in town, Gwen?
Well, I'm speaking at Keat this morning, and tomorrow morning I'll be talking to some of the third to fifth graders about the imbira. And then Friday evening I'm giving a talk on William Dawson, who is an African-American composer and choral director. He lived from 1899 to 1990. He was mostly centered in Tuskegee, Alabama. And I'm writing a book about him, so I'm going to share a little bit about his life and his music and his wonderful symphony that he wrote that had a huge premiere, and now hardly anyone has heard of it, and it's a great piece.
Well, so that's really interesting, the life of a musicologist, sort of broadly focused, yet delving very specifically into certain areas that may seem like they're not connected. But would you say that these two interest areas of yours are connected on some level?
You know, it's funny because it's almost coincidental in both cases that I'm working on these things. Imbira just came out of this interest I developed out of teaching world music and my textbook. And then William Dawson, I found myself interested in because I did some scholarship on Porgy and Bess, which of course is written by George Gershwin, but it features black characters singing black music-ish. And after I finished that project, I got interested in actual black composers writing black music. And so that sort of led to ultimately to William Dawson, who is another wonderful, wonderful composer that more people should know about. But what's funny is that I've had a longstanding interest in religious music and sacred music. And I kind of thought being a white Catholic that I would end up studying other white Catholics. And I've ended up studying Africans and African-Americans, so different traditions, but both the imbira and William Dawson's arrangements of spirituals. You know, it's both sacred music, just of a different sort than I ever thought I would be studying.
Now, you teach at the University of Puget Sound, and it's worth mentioning you are from Alaska originally.
I am. I grew up in Anchorage. My parents are both on the faculty at UAA.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. I love it.
Do you anticipate ever relocating professionally to Alaska?
It's a dream. I would love to. If there were more jobs for musicologists in Alaska, then there would be a better chance of it. But I'm really happy in Tacoma, and it's not so far.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. My pleasure.